From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. New London, Connecticut is a sleepy town halfway between New York and Boston. Like a lot of New England cities, its population has declined and its tax base has eroded in recent years. New London is trying to redevelop its historic waterfront, but that effort is proving controversial, as NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
New London is a city steeped in history. A former whaling port, it was the place where the slaves on board the Amistad were brought after their 1839 rebellion. Much later, it was immortalized by Eugene O'Neill in his autobiographical play Long Day's Journey into Night. But New London today is a city that has seen better days. Chris Riley is a spokesman for the New London Development Corporation.
I always say that New London is a city with a terrific past, a very historically vibrant past. But the present-day New London is in very rough shape. It is the sixth poorest city of Connecticut's 169 municipalities. 68% of the kids are on some sort of federal assistance in the school systems. And with very little land to develop for taxes, 60% of the land being tax-exempt, there's no real opportunity for large-scale economic development.
And so the city decided to make room. As he speaks, Riley stands near an enormous construction site in the old neighborhood of Fort Trumbull. The neighborhood is surrounded on three sides by water, and there's a breathtaking view of lighthouses and sailboats bobbing in the nearby Thames River. Fort Trumbull is ground zero in New London's efforts to remake itself. Using state and local tax incentives, the city has approved a huge redevelopment plan that will bring offices, condominiums, a state park, and a hotel and conference center to Fort Trumbull. All that promises to transform not just this neighborhood, but New London as a whole, Riley says.
If you improve the tax base, if you increase the number of jobs that are here, if you bring in new businesses, new opportunities for people to work and to come on the weekends or in the evenings, places to shop and buy things, the city will change dramatically.
But the redevelopment plan that was supposed to be so good for New London has also been a source of big controversy. To attract developers, New London agreed to buy and demolish virtually every store and home in Fort Trumbull. Already some 80 homes and businesses have been torn down, but a handful of residents refused to leave. The city responded by threatening to take their homes by force, and now the case has ended up in state superior court. The holdouts include Matt Derry, whose family has lived in the neighborhood for five generations. From the picture window in the living room of his Fort Trumbull home, Derry can see a long row of weed-strewn vacant lots where houses once sat.
3 years ago, I would have looked out this window. There would have been a family living in a single-family house here. There was another single-family house where those wildflowers are that we planted. Then my aunt's house was directly on the other side of that fence. All that I've named, they're all gone. There's nothing between me and the house at the end of the street.
Derry and his family have been offered what city officials say is fair market value to leave their homes, too. But Derry says this dispute isn't about money.
When I go out and I plant my vegetables, it's the same place that my great-grandmother planted them. I've lived here for 45 years. It's the only home that I've known being married to my wife. If we chose to sell it, that's one thing, but it's not something that should be taken away from us. It's our home.
Ordinarily, this dispute might have attracted little attention beyond Southeast Connecticut, but Derry and his neighbors have been assisted by the Institute for Justice, a libertarian Washington-based legal group that has challenged property seizures in a number of U.S. cities. At the heart of the case is a disagreement about the so-called right of eminent domain. The U.S. Constitution gives government the power to seize private land for the benefit of the public. And Chris Riley of the New London Development Corporation says that's what the city is doing.
What we're looking at is the public benefit. What is going to happen to the city of New London as this moves forward? If we're creating thousands of jobs, generating millions of dollars in new taxes, and creating opportunities for the city to increase in population, the public benefit to that is unquestioned. And the price of that are that seven people have to be paid more than fair market value plus relocation expenses for their property.
But the Institute for Justice says the right of eminent domain was intended to be used for public works projects such as schools and roads, not to seize people's homes for private developers as New London is doing. Scott Bullock is an attorney for the group.
The question is whether the ends justify the means. You can't say we're going to have development at all costs. The Constitution sets very clear limits on what governments can do. And if eminent domain is used in this way, then really no property owner is safe, because every government official, every person could come up with a better use of your land than you're making of it.
Bullock says one egregious aspect of the New London case is that the city hasn't formally approved specific plans for the land it wants to take. It simply wants to clear it for future development. But city officials insist the land is central to their plans for the area. For now, the fate of Fort Trumbull is in the hands of a judge who is expected to hear closing arguments in the fall. In the end, he must decide whether giving a jolt to the city's economy justifies losing what's left of Fort Trumbull. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New London, Connecticut.